Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
I kept hearing last week when during our worship, during the message, that God was working in our hearts. In a different way, and this word like hearts has been in my hearts, but in my mind, in my prayers throughout the week, and I was praying, God, what are you trying to speak around the hearts? And I kept being flooded with different passages, feeling good, overwhelmed with many passages that in the Bible spoke about the hearts. And I landed on one that is very well known. You probably heard it on church before, heard people praying about it before. And it's Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 27. This is the main passage that we're going to build on. But we're definitely going to go around scriptures throughout some passages. And I believe there's some gold in here in this season. So let's read verses 20 to 27, and then we'll break them down. My son, verse 20, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart, within your hearts, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thoughts to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. And I just love the start, the way that he started this, and I felt God keep repeating this throughout the week. The first statement, and it's going to be my title for today, is verse 20. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. And this is my title for today, pay attention to this. And there's so much gold in this few verses that we read here out of Proverbs. And I believe that if we really pay attention, we will see results. I was thinking we're already over halfway through the year. And if we are not intentional about our ear, we are definitely going to, you know, lose sight and lose everything that God wants to do in and through us. And God started to say, you have to be intentional. People, businessmen that are successful, they are intentional about what they do. Or if you are in a healthy journey, you have to be and pay attention and be intentional about the healthy journey. Because if you're not paying attention to your carbs, praise Jesus, what's going to happen? You're not going to, if you don't count your calories, you're going to lose track of your health journey. So you really have to pay attention to a few things. And these verses here gives us what we really have to be paying attention to. And I think this is especially important for the generation we're living in because there's a lot of distraction nowadays. And if you're working from home, there's the great side of it, but there's also a lot of distraction from working from home. So in anything in life, more than any other season, there's a fight for our attention. We are sometimes so addicted to social media that without realizing, and I remember, how many of you here remember the corporate fast that we have? Yeah. We had an 8-week fast that we started, I think, April 3rd. And one of the things that I fasted, other than some food, was social media, especially on every Wednesday. And I realized how many times I was sometimes not even thinking, but pulling my phone and opening social media. And we are so robbed. And I think this call There's wisdom behind this statement. Pay attention to this. It's very easy to lose attention. And in the last, in 2020, we experienced something as society, and we all know COVID, the pandemic, that shifted a lot of things and changed the way we worked, changed the way, and we're still living out of some of these, the reflection of these. And another thing with that is that I believe that we are facing a new pandemic of our generation, which is anxiety. Some studies say that there are more people right now suffering from anxiety than any other flu simultaneously. So anxiety is a common topic. And these words that we see here can definitely help with that. But also want to speak on a little bit of anxiety, because I think that for many years, church has escaped and not talked too much about anxiety, depression. And we related idea of being anxious as something that, you know what, you're not spiritual enough or you're living in sin. And we have been suffering, like I was like reading statistics of like even pastors committing suicide because they couldn't help, like they're dealing with so much and there's so much mental stuff going on that they, like it burdened them. And there's a war that we need to pay attention to, which is in our minds. And a lot of the times where we see in Proverbs speaking about the hearts, it speaks also about the mind. It speaks about understanding, which includes heart and mind. And so what do we have to pay attention? And I believe Bible is clear here in verse 23 says, above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows from it. Our hearts need to be our priority in this season. Our heart is the center of our emotions. If you're feeling anxious, there's probably something going on within your hearts. And again, the idea that we see here in Proverbs, heart and mind being so, so connected. And that's why I believe that COVID was, in a way, we saw so much manifest in that season, people getting into their heads. We saw growth of the deconstruction movements because people like started thinking too much and didn't spend time too much in the Bible or in community or in healthy things that Bible recommends us. And we really need to pay attention to make sure that we are not letting God's words, as we says here, turn ears to my words. I know about you, but I'm a parent, and there's nothing more frustrating than talking to your child and repeating the same thing over and over, and he's not listening. And I was thinking about that and thinking, man, how many times we do that with God? We are here every single week hearing the same stuff most times, over and over. Hey, trust in him. Keep your faith. Victory is ours. But we keep going back to the same place, to the same struggles, finding the same addictions. And God is really calling us, and it's easy. Can we get the lights on here? It's really easy, especially in this environment here, comfy seats, to get distracted. But in every single scenario, so I really believe there are a few things that I want to explore that we have to pay attention in our hearts out of this passage. Number one is pay attention to your purity. Verses 21 to 23, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your hearts, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all, guard your health or your hearts, for everything you do flows from it. If you look at many passages throughout the Bible, you're going to see them speaking about the purity of the hearts. Even Jesus, in what I consider, if you want to summarize the gospel, or if you're a new believer and you're just starting your journey with God and you need a place to start reading the Bible, if you spend a lot of time reading the Sermon of the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. I would love to recommend that to you. Read those chapters over and over because they carry important principles of our journey with God. And if you've seen the beginning of that sermon that Jesus gave, he starts with some blessings and the Beatitudes. And Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in hearts, for what? They will see God." Being pure in hearts is a prerequisite to see God. So if you want to have encounters with God, if you want your life to be changed, to be before your Creator, you gotta seek. There needs to be a value in your hearts to seek purity. One of the last things, I think by looking at the crowd, probably half of you were here last week. But one of the last things that I was mentioning is when God called Moses to walk into his destiny, he had an encounter with Moses, and he asked Moses to do one thing in Exodus chapter 4. Put your hand in your hearts. And when he took his hand out, what happened? His hand was leprous. If you look at the Old Testament, leprosy speaks of impurity. People were set apart on the camp because they had leprosy in their hearts. And God is really encouraging, and he was saying, Moses, you know what? If you want to lead my people, I need your hearts to be pure. I need your hearts to be in the right place. Because let me tell you, people are going to offend you. People are going to complain, and they did complain along the journey. So keeping his heart pure, it was a prerequisite for God to use him and so that he could walk into all that God had designed for him. And I love what the psalmist also, David, a man after God's heart, kept praying. And Psalms 51 verse 10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So we see this prayer all over the Bible. And why am I saying that? Because whenever we go through some situations, whenever we're going through some stuff, it's very easy for us to blame on something else. For Moses, look at your people, God. They just keep complaining. It's easy to say, man, my boss is not the greatest. My job has this, that. It's very easy to say or blame on something spiritual that is going on, but it's hard to look within. It's hard to look into the hearts. And everyone that has a problem and has no conscience of their problem always thinks that the problem lies with someone else. And if you look in your journey, even this year, the things you set as goals, I don't know if you set goals in the beginning of the year. Like, I want to encourage you, if you're not where you wanted to be, go back into that place. Go back in and review your hearts. Your hearts in the beginning of the journey. God wants and he will visit you in that place and bring you into the place that he wants you to be. Maybe you haven't been, we talked a lot about last week about being connected, serving, and you've been through, I don't know, 5 different churches in the last season, but you always have something to say. And you're never connected. You're always, like we ended like this last time, God doesn't use men that are good with excuses. Maybe if you've been to a lot of churches and you didn't find a place for you, maybe, just maybe, the problem is not with the church that you're going to. Maybe, just maybe, the problem was within your hearts. And I think that God wants us to stop blaming the circumstances. Stop blaming other people. And start looking in our hearts in this season. Because maybe the reason why we are not advancing, maybe the reason why you're fighting the same thing for the last 5 years is because your heart has been in the same place. And this prayer that the psalmist prayed has to be our prayer. Create in me, God, a pure heart. Purify my hearts. And to those things that keep being on your way, what you can call so excuses, remember that Christ died for you. And he wants to invite you into a journey that you're called to what? Be dead. Dead to some of these emotions, dead to some of these feelings, dead to some of these offenses that keep coming your way, and walk into everything that he wants for you. Because, man, I don't know about you, but I want us as a church to really, and been saying this since last year, to really wake up to walk into all that God has for us. And it's much more powerful when we do it, not only two of us, three of us, but the whole body. We all have a part to play. And a lot can go and a lot can change when we first change our hearts and the purity of our hearts. And let me tell you, like a bitter heart will not go far. An offended heart will not go far. Yeah. What has been in the center of your attention, and what do you think is stopping you in this season? And I think that the answer to that question, only you can say. It's only you. It's not me from here, from stage. It's only us that can evaluate our hearts. And number two here that connects to this idea is pay attention to your focus. And I find this is very important. And I begin saying how distraction is the number one thing that we are fighting in the season. It says here in Psalms, in Proverbs 4, 24 and 25, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Then pay attention to verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. I love this. Fix your gaze. And God started to speak to me this week and says, it's one thing, and I remember some seasons of my life where I was struggling and fighting some things, to really be focused. Let's say I had a challenge and within my works, a big project coming on. It's easy to focus and keep your focus because, like, you know the importance, you know the relevance of that. And also to keep your prayer life shifted to those things, those challenges that you're facing. Like Onyeka was saying here earlier, like, you are leaving today maybe the in a place where you prayed years ago, but today your attitude is to really, like, you're complaining about what you're experiencing, which is the answer of your prayers, but I believe the challenge is to keep your focus not only in seasons where things are hard and you, like, let's say you need provision and you're just really praying and believing every week, you're fasting, I need provision, God, I need this in my life, I need a shift in relationship with my kids. And it's one other thing when you're in the mountaintop, when you conquered a season, to keep your focus. And this is what I will encourage you, because I know that in this room we have people in different places. We might have people that are living in the valley right now, but we may have people in this room that are feel like you're in the mountaintop, and that's also a good place, but also a dangerous place if you lose your focus. So we got to fix our eyes not to lose. And God began to remind me about Joshua, and I love the book of Joshua. It was one of my favorite courses throughout my university years. There was a class, six months, on Joshua and Judges alone. And I love the life of Joshua, but I also put myself in his shoes, and I can't imagine the challenge of being the new leader after everything that Israel had been through. Man, imagine yourself, like, now you're in charge. Like, now you're responsible. People already liked Moses. They saw miracles with Moses. They saw the sea open before him. But I can put myself, and especially I encourage you, whenever you're ready to criticize leadership in your life, put yourself in their shoes. So imagine Joshua then saying, I got to conquer people, like, ability to listen, to hear what I have to say. I have to lead these people. So if you look at the first chapter of Joshua, it's going to be God encouraging him, you got this, be strong and courageous. I got you, I'm with you every step. Just meditate on my word, keep my word, pay attention to my word, and remember, be strong and courageous. You got this. So imagine this guy, and now he gets in charge. He's ready. The people start to, they have experienced a new leadership in their lives. They begin to accept. They see a miracle in the Jordan River, and they get to Jericho. And they get to the walls of Jericho, and they get before the, one of the hardest challenges of God's people. And imagine yourself in his shoes and just seeing, like, what was going on. And then, even better, they overcome that challenge. They see the walls come down. They get a victory. What happens next? Joshua chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. Joshua sent some of these men to, from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth-Aven. When they returned, they told Joshua, "There's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000-3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all our people struggle to go up there." They became so confident in their ability to face every battle that they say, "We got this." And this were Joshua's men, so probably people that he wouldn't say send people to spy on a city that he didn't trust. So these guys were saying, "Easy job, guys. We just overcame Jericho. This is going to be easy. Just send 2,000-3,000 and we're good." What happens? Let's see what happens. Verse 5. The men of Ai killed about 36 of Israel's men and chased them from the gate as far as the bluffs of Sherebin, and struck them down as they descended the steep pass. So the hearts of the people melted in despair and began to doubt God's promise, becoming like water. Disheartens. What goes first? The hearts. So the listen to this again. So the hearts of the people melted in despair, and they what? Begin to doubt God's promises. That's the number one area when we lose focus. Small thing. Small battle. An easy battle. Has the potential of taking it all out. One thing that I learned from this is, and we're going to dive in deeper into the next point, but is that appearance doesn't matter. It matters your attitude. It matters what you carry. And we're always going to be challenged to really keep our hearts in check when we're going through life. Let me say, there will be challenges in your life that are going to be harder than others, but there's always a different lesson that God wants to take you from every season. And we actually explored this passage last year because we talked a lot about the sin of Achan and what that happened, what that made to the people, and how because of the sin of Achan, the people of God lost this battle. But look at what it says here in verse 13. Look at what God says next. "Get up, command the people to what? Purify themselves." Their hearts were lost. First, in our first point, purify our hearts. Pay attention to the purity. "In preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things." So here we see the first instruction that we read. Pay attention to the purity of your hearts. Purify your hearts. Hey, get up, guys. I know it's tough. My promises, God is saying, my promises are still true. So it's time to get up. We lost the battle, but the victory is yours. I want you to win. God has this desire, but I need you to do two things. Number one, purify yourselves. Number two, go back. Pay attention to the place. Find your focus again. Every battle matters. Every step of your journey matters. Don't take it lightly. Approach every season of your life with intentionality. Don't let the easy seasons, the mountaintops, be seasons where you don't have that heart seeking God in the same place that you had in a hard season. And I'm speaking to you guys, but mostly to myself, because I know how easy it is, once you conquer something, to not have the same level of intensity of your life of prayer, devotion, time spent in God's Word. And He's calling you, keep your focus, keep your focus. And this is what we see in men of God. Like, one of the things that I love the most about Pastor Sean that I see is his focus. He's always like, man, super laser focused, intentional into what God is doing and walking us. Like, I want to walk into the Word of God. So he's laser focused in hearing God's Word for this house. So we need to learn. And many of the men of God that I met in my life, they all have one thing in common. They kept their focus. And you need that, because we want to finish well. We want to end well. So it's so, so important. I cannot stretch more at this point. And look at this, another prayer that David prayed. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there's any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. So if you look, those passages connect. Like anything hidden, that was the problem. Israel had hidden things. And I think that one of the things that we battle the most is being vulnerable. Sometimes what stops us from serving is that we don't want to be vulnerable and open our hearts for things to get better, for things to get corrected, for things to shift. And vulnerability, hard word for me to say in English, but it's so key for you to experience your miracle and your promises. When Jesus came to preach, like to heal the guy that had his withered hand, he said, "What do you want me to do?" He had two options: hide the hand that had a problem, and just show the good one, or, "Hey, Jesus, this is my problem. You know me." And this is the key here. We gotta be real with God. There's nothing that we're hiding from Him. I love this verse. Examine me through and through. Put me to test and sift through all my anxious care. Anxiety, again, here, speaking in the season. This is the most spiritual prayer you can pray this morning. It's really ask God to go deep into your hearts. Don't stay on the walls that you've put through years in church. Don't let excuses, don't let anything rob you from the place that God has called you to be in the season. That's the thing with carrying a bitter heart, is that the only way you're going to be healed is if you, number one, open your heart up. Let it go. Let forgiveness walk in. Let me tell you, forgiveness has way more to do with your future than it has to do with your past. It's way more about your future. It's way more about what you're about to step into. Because if you walk with your heart with unforgiveness, you will be limited in what you can reach. The only sad part about Moses' story is that he couldn't walk to Promised Land. At a point, bitterness got in. And this is a man of God. So we got to keep our hearts in check. And I'm not saying here and being pure, being holy, it's not about not sinning anymore. Man, I mess up all the time. But it's always being pure. It's always to keep on cleaning yourself up, presenting yourself before the presence of God, finding your focus again, saying, "God, I messed up again. Purify me." Number three, and this is super key as well, pay attention to what is inside. And I'll explain this. Verses 26 and 27 of Proverbs 4, give careful thoughts to the paths of your, for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. It has nothing to do with the chaos that is going on around you. We can find many excuses to blame any situation you're going through, like a hard financial situation. Oh, look at the crisis. Man, the market is not. I heard a statement that really stuck to me this week. Storms that happen on the inside are way more important than the ones that happen on the outside. If you look at every single ship or boat that ever navigated the oceans, what is one thing that they have in common? They all had the same amount of waters around them. Those that sunk are those that let what? The waters come inside. So storms that happen on the inside are way more important. And those are the ones that you need to be paying attention in this season. This is simply the why, because some sink and some don't in life. Another statement that came as I was studying for today is that, and this is like a big one, because I think you're going to leave this place, and maybe even before you get to the lobby, something's going to happen. When doubt comes your way, doubt your doubts, but don't doubt your faith. I want to encourage you in this season, doubt the things that are coming from the outside. We have an easy time doubting a word from God and an easy time hearing someone else's opinion. He that is inside of you is greater than outside. So watching for what's inside, it's going to be so key. And I said this last week, God is way more interested in how you are than in how things are. God couldn't care less about the circumstances because he knows he has power over them. Jesus knew he had power over the storms. The one thing he always asked, what do you want me to do? What is going on in your hearts? Jesus, he can see the circumstances. He knows the circumstances. He wants access to your hearts. He wants us to keep an open heart. I heard a story about this week is because it's so easy. We blame the circumstances. We look for opportunity. I know I come from Brazil. I know many Brazilians that go to the States or to Canada looking for opportunity, and that's why they leave. Many of them are legally to be there trying to find opportunity. Blaming on the circumstances. I can never prosper in Brazil. I can never prosper in this economy. There's too much corruption. If you guys think there's corruption here, Brazil is just a whole new joke, a new level. And I heard a story from Chris Valaton from Bethel. How many of you here are familiar with Bethel? Some of you. I know that more than you are. But he was praying to God and asking God, why did you choose Redding? Bethel is located in a city in California that is a very small city. I have never heard about Redding before I heard about, like, only after I heard about Bethel, I heard about Redding. And nobody, I think, honestly, Redding is in the map right now. And I know because of, I heard some stories from there, because of what the culture that was created there, the culture, the establishing the kingdom of God in that city that was known to be not a city that would prosper and many new businesses coming out of that city. But he was debating and battling, God, why did you choose Bethel? Oh, Redding. And God answered to him in a private way, I didn't choose Redding. I chose Bill. Bill Johnson's the founder of Bethel. And because Bill chose Ready, and because Bill's there and my son is there, I'll bless every single place where he steps foot on. And if you look at Abraham's life, he gave Lot the best place, the best land. Who prospered? It's not about the circumstance. It's not about your geographical location. It's about your hearts being in the right place, being synced with God. Have lots of phrases and statements. Again, I was bombarded with different scripture this week. Heard a statement that, been really thinking about it, and I'll continue to think about it. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. All begins here. One small thought, one small emotion. That if it's not in the right place, the effect of it, it's either amazing or catastrophe. Yeah. That's why you see over and over, wisest man that walked, Solomon, focusing above all else, guard your hearts. David, a man after God's heart, guard your hearts. Jesus, be pure in hearts. Paul, we're going to read this and end with this passage. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 3, verses 12 to 20. It would be cool if I had more. I love Ephesians. Yeah. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now boldly and confidently come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please, don't lose hearts. Because of my trials here, of your trials. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything, in heaven and on earth. I pray that, and pay attention to this prayer, that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with what's inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him, in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand. And I love this, as all God's people should. So you're included in this. You're God's people. How wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all the glory to God, who is able, through his mighty work, mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we may ask or think. A few points that I love about this passage, the worship team can come up. Verse 13, don't lose hearts. It's the first encouragement here that Paul is saying. Again, value on the hearts. Verse 16, what does he pray? Pray for what? Your inner strength. It matters what? What's inside. Then Christ will make home where? In your hearts. And what happens after? Roots will grow down. Can you see roots? No. Only if you remove them from the inside. So God is caring about, you want to understand how high my love is, how great it is. You want to walk into everything. First, strengthen your roots. Let your roots go deeper. I love this passage because it marks an encounter that I had in Easter retreats with my church back in Brazil. The year was 2014. So 10 years ago, and our pastor was leading us into a moment of really understanding the love of Jesus in the cross and asking us, ask Jesus to bring you to Calvary right now, for you to have a revelation of his love for you. And as soon as I started praying, this passage came into my heart. In 2011, I had the privilege of January of that year to go up on the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center, just 9 months before the terrorist attack. And that marked me because it gave me a new, like, understanding when it happened on, man, how wide, how big. Because I was in the, like, up there, I saw one of the flags that stayed after the, and I could look down, and I was, like, imagining, man, like, every time you go up to, like, a high ceiling, I don't know about you guys, but I always think, man, imagine if this thing came down. I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I was thinking about that in, so I hope I'm not participating in what happened 9 months after, because as a man thinks, so he is, that's the Bible, but God speak to me and said, you know what, Eduardo, you have a revelation of how wide, how tall, how large that building was compared to people that has not never stepped foot on that building. You have a new level, and I want to bring you to the cross to understand this level of how much I love you, how much I would do it all again for you. How wide. It's too big for us to understand, as Paul is reading in the end, but our spirits can connect to that reality. It's not possible maybe here, but our inner men, our hearts are able to connect to that truth. And I believe this is what God desires for us. I think that many times we as Christians, we're not walking into our destiny because we have been praying the same boring prayers. We're praying for things that we already have. God says, you're praying for this? Okay, you got this. You have not because you ask not. So we're not walking into new things in our journeys with God because we haven't asked for him to come and stretch for him. And sometimes, let me tell you, it's going to hurt when it goes deeper. It may not be the easiest path for roots to go deep, but if you put your heart in the right place, if you focus and say, man, I'm doing this because I know the season God is working in my heart, and I want to go deeper. I want to understand everything that he has for me. I want to walk into what he called me to walk. And maybe I got to be honest. I'm not. Like, and this is what God called Joshua here. Let's regroup. And where have we been missing? Because let's be honest, we often miss the mark. And God is inviting us. It's okay to revise. It's okay to repent. Repent is like, I missed the mark. I missed the focus. I'm going back to the place of focus so that I can do everything that I want to do in your life. Amen? Why don't we stand? I want you to close your eyes in this moment. We're going to shortly go back into a moment of worship here. And I believe, again, God is in this place. Holy Spirit is in this room. I just want to invite you in these moments as we worship some more. Open your hearts. Only you know the doors of your hearts that are closed. Only you know the doors of your hearts that maybe hurts in this season. That said, God, you know what? I don't want to go there. Maybe it's time you go there. And you access those things and keep an open heart. We're going to worship some more. And again, if you're having a hard time by yourself, that's okay. We have a team here. We have our ministry team that can pray for you, can pray for your hearts. Maybe you really need to release forgiveness in this morning, in this moment. If you're in this room and you never said yes to Jesus, let me tell you, this is the best decision you can make. This is the best yes. This is the starting point to say, God, yes, creating me a pure heart. Yes, God, creating me a walk. With all eyes closed, if you are in this room and you never said yes, or even you are in this room, but you feel like you're in the prodigal son, where you've been far from God and you want to come back, I want to invite you, if you are in this public confession with all eyes closed, can you please lift your hands? Man, let's all pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. Search my heart, oh God. I ask forgiveness for my sin, for missing the mark. And I want Jesus. I accept you, Jesus. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for paying the price for me. I thank you for victory. And I want to walk in newness of life today and every day moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.